So,
why didn't you just pour a cup right before you?
Avadimainu, we answer the kid. You know, we were slaves. Do you know what it means to be a slave? And here we have to talk on the child's level. You know that that means that our grandparents, our great-grandparents, the people back in Egypt, they couldn't read, they couldn't write, they couldn't take time off to be with their kids. When it came time to take their children to Gan, they couldn't take them to Gan. If a child says, Abba, I want you to make me a different sandwich, his father says, you kidding? This is all I got. This is what the Egyptians let me have. We have to talk on their level. It means that at night, when children would come home, they didn't have their Abba and Ima at home. They came home to an empty house. It means in the morning, when they got up to leave the house, they weren't going to school. The children were going out to work, and their parents weren't home to take care of them either. The parents were out working from the crack of dawn till deep into the night. And they'd come home, they didn't have patience, they didn't have strength. Sometimes they didn't even come home, they were so weak at the end of the day. They'd come home all bruised. Avadim ayinu, we were slaves. Leparo, to that wicked, menacing midget, Paro. You know, Paro was only an Amahai. That's how tall he was. He had a beard down to the floor. He was a warlock. He knew all kinds of sorcery. And Paro was one of the most vicious people you'd ever imagine. Paro, he tried to kill us. He wanted all our daughters, you know, for what. He used to bathe in Jewish children's blood. So we don't tell this to the children, but that's what Paro did. So Paro, we were servants, not to a decent person, but rather to Paro. He believed himself to be God. B'Mitzrayim, in that decrepit country of Mitzrayim, where the women slept with women and the men slept with men, hot couples would switch wives, they'd sleep with their animals, they worshipped the animals, they worshipped the Nile, they worshipped the stars. What a country, Mitzrayim. A country where you wouldn't want to catch yourself dead. Mitzrayim, even Yaakov said, don't even bury me here. Mitzrayim, the epitome, the mother of all exiles. The exile that would be the most afflicting. The people that hated us most. Look at us, look at them today. The Egyptian parliament just voted. Enemy number one of Egypt, the state of Israel. What'd we do to them? Good question. We were the ones that funded that crocodile who went off their coast, right? But Egypt, Egypt. Avadim hayinu. So now we're really describing three things. We were slaves, so we have to explain what it means to be a slave. To Pharaoh, we have to explain what an evil person he was. In Egypt, you know that a slave never escaped from Egypt? Egypt had treaties with all the countries all around them 30 years before we left Egypt. So there was a tribe of Yosef, Yosef's descendants, who they tried to leave Bnei Ephraim, they tried to leave Egypt early. The Egyptians killed them and left their bodies rotting there for another, almost a millennium. Their bodies would remain rotting there, the bones, the skeletons, because that was the one angle through Philistine territory where people could try to escape, and of course they caught them and killed them. They had a pact with the Philistines that they would kill anyone who came there. And they left their bones there so that any slave who would try to escape would encounter all the bones of all the people who had tried to escape before him. So there you had hundreds of Jews who were left unburied for a millennium. Their bones, their skeletons were there just to scare people from running away. That's the type of place Egypt was. Yes, Nathan. Correct.
Do we have other explanation on
it? Archaeology happens to back it.
No.
If you go to England, to the in the British Museum, they have a mummy of a pharaoh who is very, very, very short, who happens to fit the time that Chazal say was. So we have a discussion whether the Amma is that or a little bit longer than that. So if Chazal tells an Amma, I'm saying, so when, no. So when Chazal tells an Amma, so that pharaoh that they found isn't down to 22 inches, but he is very, very, very short. So when Chazal tells an Amma, the question is, did they mean literally an Amma, or they meant he was very, very short, he was a midget?
I actually read that the Egyptians worshipped the midgets.
Oh, okay, interesting. Vayotzienu, and this is the stress that we're getting across tonight. Vayotzienu Adonai Eleinu Misham Yad Chazakah V'Zvon Netuyah. One, Hashem took us out. Two, Hashem didn't do it in a natural way. Hashem did it with a powerful outstretched hand. You saw God acting here. You saw 10 plagues. You saw the Egyptian economy ravished. You saw the country destroyed. You saw the people plundered. And all at the hands of God. It wasn't a human fight. Wild animals coming in, pestilence. You saw how God was punishing them and took us out, splitting the sea, doing it in a miraculous form. And these are the points we're reminding ourselves of tonight. If the Holy One, blessed be He, did not take our forefathers out of Egypt, we and all our descendants would still be in servitude there to Pharaoh in Egypt, because there was no way out. Meaning we were at a point where we would have lost our identity. What Chazal say, we were at the brink of crossing that threshold of the 49 steps of defilement. What that means is there would be no Jewish people to save. We know that history has its ups and downs and empires are overturned, but there has to be someone to take out. You reach a point where there's no one to talk to, and that's where we were at. Had we spent one more day there, we were on the brink of crossing that threshold. So, even if we'd all be wise and sages with understanding, masters of Torah, tonight's the anniversary. Tonight we have a mitzvah to recount, hey, what happened there? The more you tell, the better. And we'll elaborate. Maaseh, there was a story with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos, the great sage who only started learning Torah at the age of 25. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiya, the Levite, who was a top astronomer, advisor to the Roman Caesar. He was the top defendant when the early Christians would attack Judaism. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a Kohen, 10 generations down from Ezra the scribe. Rabbi Akiva, who was a descendant of converts. Rabbi Tarfon, who was extraordinarily wealthy. All these people, Shoyim Esubin b'Vnei Brak. So they were the top sages of the day. They were the top rabbis, and they were all in Bnei Brak. All night long, they were telling over stories of what happened in Egypt. Here you see it. Even the great sages, they knew it. They're the ones who compiled the Mishnah. They composed the most of the Mishnahs we learn. But they kept telling all night long, there's what to talk about. Till their students came and said, rabbis, it's time to go pray the morning prayer. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said to the other sages, now we're discussing another thing. Every night we commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. Not only tonight at the Seder, but every night. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the one who fought for it. He said originally they didn't give in until Ben Zoma arrived. Shneimal, the verse says, you'll remember your Exodus from Egypt all the days of your life. What does it mean, all the days of your life? All the days means throughout your days, once in the morning and once at night. And from that derivation, the rabbis gave in, and that's what we do. We commemorate every morning and every night the Exodus from Egypt. Question, what do we do to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt? How many things a day do you do that's connected to the Exodus from Egypt? Kriyat Shema, in the Shema, the last parsha is the Exodus. What else? Tefillin, the tefillin of the arm, tefillin of the head, each one of them has the parshas that say it. What else? We say the blessing Gal Yisrael, we mention the Geula just before Shmona Esrei, right? What else? We number our days by Shabbos, we number our months by the Exodus from Egypt. 1 month from it. Yeah, what else? What else? What?
When we number a month from next season?
Every time we speak about month number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's counting from... No, that's the years. The months, we count from Nisan, which was the month we were redeemed. Nisan is month number 1, because that's the month we were redeemed on. So... No. The sages say, when it says throughout your days, all the days of your life, that's going to tell you that even in the days of the Messiah, when we'll have that great war of Gog and Magog, in spite of all the great redemptions we're yet to have, we'll always look back and realize that it all began with the great Exodus that we're talking about tonight. And now it's time to go into the Maggid, to go in depth, but first we have to pause for a minute.